If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
All right, welcome in, pro wrestling fans. Another Saturday is here, and you know what that means. It is a time for a best-of edition of Saturday's Busted Open Radio. I am your host, Ryan McKittle. Got Mark Henry across the way, and geez, Mark, I wonder what we're going to be talking about this week. Could it have anything to do with our boy Otis?
I'm sure that it will. Now we've got the news that there will be a date on Valentine's. Can't wait to see it.
Let's go, Otis. Speaking of let's go, for some of our favorite wrestlers in the WWE, the big man, Mark Henry, Braun Strowman finally gets his first individual title in the WWE. What a great moment. It's going to be very interesting to see what comes of this run.
Not only is it going to be interesting to see, but who is going to be against. And we had a little fantasy booking, so we'll kind of find out later on in the podcast who Braun Strowman is going to be facing.
So we got Mandy and Otis. We got Braun winning the IC title. We got John Cena saying Brock Lesnar is the greatest in-ring performer of all time. And of course, it's a Saturday. So you know what that means, Mark. It's time for the weekly winner. What do you think? You want to get to it? Let's go.
Man, I cannot wait to get to the weekly winner. We always say it, and we mean it when we say it. If you're not first, you're last.
Let's go, because that's what we do right here on Busted Open Radio on a Saturday. I'm Ryan. That's Mark. Let's get it going. We got some audio here for you. Those of you that may have missed it. I'm telling you, man, Otis is crossing that finish line. That cute, you know, harmless little, oh, I'm just Otis. I'm just the little boy in the corner. I'm too shy to talk to you. That gimmick is working, Otis. You keep with it.
Shy brother is what we call it.
That's right.
Play shy brother.
Let's play Shy Brother shooting his shot at Mandy last night on SmackDown.
Will you go out with me next Friday?
I'm sorry, but next Friday I have plans. But I don't have any plans the following Friday.
Great!
Okay, well, we have a match, so we gotta go.
Oh my God, you did it, dude. You scored a date with your peach, Mandy Rose, and I just did the math in my head, and it's gonna be on the most romantic day of the year, Doze. You got a date on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Turkey!
Oh, yeah.
It's the best thing in pro wrestling.
That's my new thing. Oh, my God. I don't know what just popped me the most. Him going, oh, yeah. Or the fact that when he takes that, he tears that shirt off, and he starts pumping his stomach, and he's doing the whole deal. Man, it just makes me happy. I'm like, this is the best thing in the world.
It really is.
I get so much joy out of seeing that, and I know that the fans do. And that's why it's working, because it's fun, and it's what wrestling originated with me as a kid. I always used to like to see Mr. Wrestling number 2. And, you know, when I in Southeast Texas, we had Paul Bosch and we had Devon Erickson in Dallas. So I was in a perfect place in the world to watch wrestling. And every now, if everything was clear, we would get Mid-South. So, I mean, it was just perfect for wrestling to be a fan. And everybody had the one guy on the roster that was kind of like the party guy, the guy that got it going, that, you know, would clap in the corner and get everybody fired up and stuff. And Otis has become that guy in wrestling. I never in a million years would have thought that this big mean-looking, rotund, beard-having guy would be the cheerful, happy, get everybody going guy. And it's a credit to his work, and it's a credit to good booking. So, I mean, we winning.
We are winning. And, Mark, you know, as you're sitting here talking about and describing the character that Otis is and the run that he's on and the way that the people have gotten behind him, I can't help but draw parallels on some level to your career. I mean, you were an absolute wrecking machine. You could go into a ring and do your absolute worst. But at the time, at different times, I should say, throughout your career, you were willing to have fun with it. You were willing to be goofy. Yeah. I mean, I don't need to go down the list, but that love of pro wrestling clearly shone through. I guess, you know, from the standpoint that you've went through this and you have had, I don't want to say it's not the same because you obviously your profile coming into the business was much higher and it was a little bit different of a relationship, but I still do contend that there are a lot of similarities there. So I'd like you to kind of highlight, at least from the standpoint of Otis, because when I sit there and I watch Otis, I can't help but be amazed at the work he's doing and the care yeah. and the passion that he's putting behind it. I'd love to get your take on that, being a former big guy who wasn't afraid at different times to get goofy and have some fun with the business.
No, Otis is doing a great job, and we talked about this yesterday. Like, there's nothing wrong with parallels that happen in pro wrestling. It just so happens that maybe a decade and a half later, you have something that comes along that's kind of similar. Now, what we're failing to realize that in 2 weeks, on Valentine's Day, we're going to get an Otis and Mandy date.
Classic.
So what does that remind you of? Oh, maybe this guy named Sexual Chocolate that had a date with China. And it was a historic moment in television.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that parallel happening again and what they're going to do with it. And by God, I hope nobody says anything crass to Mandy, because there is nothing that can make a big guy mad, or any guy, than for somebody to disrespect their date. Because if you disrespect the date, the night is over. You killed the night. And I don't think our Otis is going to have that.
Well,
so I'm looking forward to what's going to happen. Like, that's the kind of thing I'm looking forward to the most in pro wrestling right now.
I can't disagree. You know how I feel about Otis. I think the whole nation knows how I feel about Otis and Mandy. But you know what? I want a womanly perspective here. Gabby just posed an outstanding question on the chat. You know, we're communicating here. You don't always hear her, but she's always there. She's the mother of Busted Open on Saturdays. Gabby, what was the question you asked? Because I think it's very apt through the course of this conversation.
Yeah, so I was just thinking about this as well. As a female or a male, you know, Valentine's Day is the number one most romantic day of the year.
Of course.
That a lot of pressure to have your first date on that day? I know I would feel the pressure for sure. As a man, you want to make sure everything's perfect and everything's nice and romantic. But Valentine's Day is a very, almost like, I feel like it's a veteran romantic day, whereas a lot of couples go out and like to do, you know, like the things that they like to do. So as a first date on Valentine's Day, like, do you think that's a little too much pressure to put on it as a first date where you're just getting to know each other to see if you even really like each other that much?
Mark, what do you think? I mean, Otis is usually a pretty sweaty guy to begin with. Are we going to get more sweat on Valentine's Day?
I think we're definitely going to get the nerves. I would love to be able to work on this segment, on this whole angle, because I can see him giving her a box of chocolates, and she go, oh, my God, I love chocolates. She opened up, and some of them are missing. And she's like, oh, my God, somebody ate. He's like, oh, I got hungry on the way over. You know, just like, I mean, it's so many things, man. I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this.
You can tell,
I put a little thought into it. I'm pretty excited about this. And if the fans are not, then y'all need to get ready. It's coming. We got 2 weeks. is the countdown is on. We're going to put the Otis clock on.
Otis clock?
The Otis clock. We got 14 days.
Pressure's on.
Is he going to get a kiss, guys, at the end of the night?
Oh man.
Well, that's the hook.
That's the question. That's the question to the nation. Do you think Otis will get a kiss on Valentine's Day?
Oh, man. I hope so. We're rooting for that.
What would do to you? What would that do to your heart?
It would make me almost as happy as the day I saw Bad Boys, Mark.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome. Golly.
It would be a hell of a payoff. You go back to Otis potentially eating chocolates. There's so much that you can do with that segment. You can show the date wherever they go. You can have Otis get nervous and run off to the bathroom. There's so many ways this can go. I think the more Aiken it is to like an 80s romantic comedy, the better. I think Vince and everyone should just go look at like every single 80s teen slash romantic slash whatever comedy and just pull from the best ideas of that. They're tailor-made to play this role.
I could really see him with a handful of napkins in each hand and Mandy going, what's going on with the napkins? And he's like, oh, my palms keep sweating. I would do everything, man. Like just make it the whole show. I mean, you have the show, but I would have that date the entire show, all the way to the end. We would go out on the kiss.
Or not kiss. That's, tease us. Or, but the kiss is everything. Us. Right.
Oh, man, you could cliffhanger.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just so much that could be done.
You could cliffhanger it till next Valentine's Day. Like, you're talking about Reigns and Corbin going yes, I'll wait. Exactly. That's a story that I will absolutely wait for the payoff. Hey, you know what? We got a lot of big Otis fans out there in the nation, but none so more large? Large? I don't know what the phrasing on that. I'm the one that's supposed to be the writer. I should do that better. But one of the biggest Otis fans in the world and one of our favorite nation members, Anthony in Nebraska's got some thoughts on last night. Anthony, what's
My
up, buddy?
Man.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
What's up, man?
What's up? We're enjoying
Otis talk.
Oh my goodness, let me tell you. Otis the Love Dozer. I'm here.
The Love Dozer.
The Love Dozer. He is with his beautiful bronze bombshell that he's got on his arm for Valentine's Day. Could we be any more happy for this man? I mean, honestly.
No.
Honestly. I have laughed. I have smiled. I have enjoyed. My wife has enjoyed this storyline.
Yeah.
She's like, and I keep telling her he's out kicking his coverage. She goes, "What does that mean?" I go, "Look at our relationship, sweetheart. I should have never had you. Should have never had you. And you picked me.
Look at you, like, sly tongue devil.
Picked me like the ugly dog out the litter. I still can't believe that woman picked me. So yes, we are loving Otis, and yes, he should get a gift. And I love the sweaty palms idea. Oh my God, you guys are so great! I've been laughing the whole ride back home. This has been great. The other thing, Mark, grown ass man, Drew McIntyre.
Yes, sir.
Boy.
Yes, sir.
Boy.
2 years in. 2 years in the waiting.
Man,
it took us 2 years.
First of all, when he eliminated Brock, I went off. I jumped off my couch. Because I was like, that's it. He's going to win the whole thing. I was like, that's it. He took the one person out that everybody was gunning for. I was like, he's going to take the whole thing. And then when Edge came out, I had goosebumps, and I jumped off my couch, and my wife goes, "Who's that?" I go, "Go to the other room." I was like, how dare you? I was like, you know who Hillbilly Jim is, but you don't know who Edge is. I go, that's ridiculous. Man. So anyway, I never want to take anybody's time up, but man, I'm loving this Otis line. I'm loving what WWE is putting out right now. SmackDown has been great. It's had its ups and downs, but
truly
am enjoying the product that they are bringing to Fox, because I think they knew they had to set their game up big, 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 and I think they really have from the Fiend to, you know, everything we're seeing. I think there's just constant growth, bringing back the fireworks, bringing back the things that make people want to tune in. You know, the stuff that the kids love. You know, I mean, I'm enjoying the adventure that we're on right now, and I can't wait to see how the rest of the year plays out. And Mark, when I get home, I'm smoking a bacon wrapped cheese stuffed meatloaf.
No, no food, Anthony. Stop it.
Yeah, that was
too early.
That was for Mark.
That was brother.
Love you.
Killing
you guys.
Me. Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Anthony. We appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, buddy. You
wow.
too.
He just blew my mind.
What is
mind?
I feel
that
like they're
is
trolling
crazy.
Us. Yeah, I feel like they're trolling
but you
us.
You know
Mark.
What? I want that. Hey, listen, if y'all got some ideas of something great to cook, please call in. I love food. It makes me happy. It makes me so happy.
It's true. Look at his face. You guys can't see it, but I can.
I may have to try that. Look, a bacon-wrapped meatloaf? I don't know about the cheese, but a bacon-wrapped meatloaf sounds tremendous if you smoke it on the smoker. Oh, my gosh. That's loveliness. That's like watching Otis and Mandy walk into a room holding hands. Wow. My heart
special.
Flutter.
It's special.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Braun Strowman, the big man himself, Country Strong, getting his very first individual title in WWE. So, Mark, obviously the Intercontinental Championship. Mark, I guess I'll ask you this right off the bat. What the hell took so long?
You know what, man? I think that you don't want to rush things, and you didn't. We always talk about how Roman Reigns was pushed on us.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to choose Roman Reigns, and now people are choosing Roman Reigns. Look how long it took for Roman Reigns to take. So I'm glad that they did not rush and just make him a champion over someone that it didn't seem plausible. Now, for him to go over at this point after all the things that he's done is going to legitimize him. And it's not just winning it, it's keeping the title. How long is he going to keep the title? Who is he going to defend the title against? Like, what stories are going to be built out of the fact that he has the title now? Is Sami Zayn going to try to get back in there and get Cesaro a shot? There's so many options of things that can happen. There's a lot of guys that want that title that would make for really, really good television.
And it also begs the question, where does that leave Shinsuke Nakamura? A lot of good questions to get to. But as we go back to go back to Braun Strowman and the way all the way this developed over the last few years, you bring up a really good point, and that is, you know, force feeding fans something that, listen, we know from reports, and we know just the way he was booked, that at different points, Vince and the WWE were extremely high on Braun Strowman. And I think you bring up an apt comparison when you talk about Roman Reigns, because there was a point there for a while that it felt like, yeah, they were positioning Braun to be the next clear-cut guy. And you're absolutely right about that, Mark. That is a dangerous game in the sense of you don't want to have that, especially when you have a guy who is capable of being a massive, massive, massive babyface. You don't want to, again, you don't want to force it. You know what I mean? You let this develop naturally, and now you find the crowd completely behind Braun Strowman to the standpoint that I'm leading this entire segment, Mark, asking you the question, what took so long? And I think the universe is feeling the same way, and that's just a product of good booking, right? You take a guy a year ago or a year and a half ago where some section of the fan base is like, oh, man, they're clearly going to have this guy be the next guy. This is, you know, it's being force-fed. You're worried about where it's going to go. To a year and a half later, everyone's on the same page. It's like, why? What took so long? That's masterful booking.
It is masterful booking, and is letting the audience dictate what's going on. And it got to the point now that the fans were like, well, why has Braun Strowman not got a shot? Why is Braun Strowman, and nobody's prouder than me. I feel like a proud papa.
Sure.
Being that, you know, everybody that I've invested my time and my mentorship is, they're flourishing. You know, Bianca Belair is killing it. Mm-hmm. Baron Corbin is killing it. Braun has won his first title. Like, I feel like I'm batting 1,000. So it is good to see him in that position. But I'm glad it didn't come too soon, because sometimes when it comes too soon to you, it can ruin you and it can stunt your growth. And I think that you look at the change that Bron has made in his body. He
That's
lost somewhere around 45 pounds, but he put on 10 pounds of muscle in the process. Like, he's ambitious. He wants to look the part as well as perform the part. And I think that the WWE is paying him off for his hard work and his diligence.
Yeah, and as we talk about that payoff, presumably this is going to usher in a pretty lengthy run for one Braun Strowman, as we're talking about Braun Strowman earning his first individual title in WWE last night, winning the Intercontinental Championship from Shinsuke Nakamura. Where does this go, Mark? What would you like to see next for your guy, Braun, as this this run begins heading into WrestleMania?
You know what? Being that he's the champion and Mania is around the corner, it would be really, really cool to be able to go into Mania and hold your title over your head and defend it against somebody that has earned their way to having that match. So they're going to have to do something to create a buzz of who the competitor is going to be. And it can't be somebody easy. It can't be. If you put somebody in there easy, people are going to be like, he's supposed to beat him. He's supposed to. So that's the problem that I feel like him being champion is going to come up, is who is that person going to be, and do they deserve to be in there, and can they put him in jeopardy? Those are pretty much the three questions.
Well, when you look at the SmackDown roster, who stands out? Who do you think could bear that weight? Who do you think that could essentially carry that cross, if you will?
You know what, man? I'm not sure. I think that a lot of the guys on SmackDown are kind of like in that smaller category of guy. I would like for it to be somebody on the larger side. And I think the very first guy that I'd like to see him in there with, I don't know, that may be too soon.
I'd like to see Rowan,
another big guy, give him somebody that he could work against. You know, they both have really serious things going on. They built Rowan to people care about what's in the cage. People care about, you know, he's been doing that finish for what, 2 months now?
Something like that. Yeah.
Has he had a serious competitor, right now? No. So I think that would be Big E is another guy that I'd like to see get some single shine.
I like that.
That I know would be a really, really good match. Braun Strowman being, you know, a guy. Can you imagine this? You have Braun going through all these guys on SmackDown. Nobody can get the job done. And then two weeks before WrestleMania, Walter shows up.
Oh, yes.
And says,
"Let's
you've
go.
You've beaten everybody."
Yeah.
"But I don't think that you can beat me. Give me a shot at that title." And Braun, being the guy, the babyface that he is, why would he turn down a fight? Especially one that we all would love to see.
That would be amazing.
That's the kind of booking that you have to do. You know, putting him in there with Mojo and Buddy Murphy and guys that are on that show, it's going to be good, but it's is not a splash. Now, we've talked about Walter and Keith Lee being guys that we want to see take that next jump. But I think Keith Lee, he wants to be the NXT champion. And I think that that's where his focus is. But Walter's the next great thing, guys. I mean, we talked about yesterday on the show. I was really, really pissed off that there was a couple of people that was body shaming Seven. And I've also seen stuff where people talked about, well, Walter doesn't work out. He's a wrestler's wrestler.
No, stop.
He don't look. I'm like, get out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That is.
Like,
that's ridiculous.
You walk up to Walter in a bar and say that shit to his face and see what happens to your face.
It wouldn't look the same. And that's a great point. I mean, you bring up Walter. The idea of Walter and Braun Strowman, just the optics
money.
Of that. And it's absolutely money. I love that idea. But as we're sitting here fantasy booking the future for Braun Strowman, one name that has not been brought up auspiciously in the absence of it is Shinsuke Nakamura, Mark. I would like to see Shinsuke Nakamura get another chance immediately at his title. I think Nakamura is one of the best pro wrestlers in the world of a generation. He is that good. His run in WWE has had mixed results, although the accolades have been there. Obviously, Royal Rumble winner, Intercontinental Champion. I hope they don't forget about him, Mark. I would like to see a somewhat of a continuation of that story. Do you think I'll get that?
I'm not sure, man. I think that Shinsuke is going to get another shot. I mean, okay. That's without a shadow of a doubt. Because of how successful Sami Zayn and Cesaro and Shinsuke have been, you'd be doing bad business not to have that come to a rematch. But I think it should be more of the same. Braun doing what he does against those guys and him moving on to it being a competition of who's going to be next. You got to put a Goldberg type effect with Braun to get him going now that the people have chose him. So, man, let's go. I'm ready.
Let's go. I'm ready as well. A lot of possibilities, whatever's going to happen with Braun Strowman in this IC title run. And I'll tell you what, whoever it's going to be, Mark, they're going to have their hands full taking on Braun Strowman, especially now that he has his first title and the writing is on the wall. I think in terms of the push, Braun Strowman's got a lot of momentum behind him, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a lot of momentum. And what do you do when you want to keep a fire hot? You keep putting wood on it. And that's exactly what the WWE, I feel like, is going to do. The old school booking is going to take effect. And I think there should be a couple of fights over who is going to get the shot at Braun, which, you know, you have Braun in the ring, you know, cutting a promo about how great it is to finally win a championship. And then that's when all the heads come out. Hey,
so like a tournament, maybe?
You know, it could be a tournament style, but be careful what you ask for. If you want Braun Strowman, and you beat somebody to get to him, know that you're gonna get him. You're gonna get that match and that following week. You see him on TV. You don't want to have that match. You don't want that guy to win his match and say, "Hey, I won. Bring his butt out here right now." Like that was, you know, it would work maybe once, but then you have to go to guys that you can have a match with next week. And you know, you just base the show around that title. And I think that he can be one of those guys that can give that title life like Dolph Ziggler did. Dolph Ziggler, I thought, was one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions we had because every week he battled somebody for it. That's what you have to do to get that title hot. And who better than Braun Strowman? He could beat everybody.
Yeah, and as we talk about potential opponents, one name that we didn't mention, and Gabby actually was talking about this when we were talking before the show, she brought up a name that, listen, we haven't really liked anything that he's been doing, or we don't really understand it in terms of his current feud, but I'm talking about Sheamus, Mark. We can end this Shorty G nonsense right now, and let's start with Braun Strowman and Sheamus, because you said you want to see a big guy, you want to see an imposing guy, you want to see someone believable challenge for that title. Does Sheamus not fit that bill perfectly?
You know what? I think that's great, too. But I think Sheamus needs to beat somebody else in order to get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sheamus and Cesaro, Sheamus and Nakamura. There's many guys that we could sit here and talk about that on that roster. But picking out who those guys are going to be is going to be important, because one has got to lead to Braun. So, man, it's a battle of attrition. Who lasts? Who's going to last?
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
All right, so I kind of teased it before we were going to break, but this news, John Cena giving an interview over the last 48 hours. It was with Sports Illustrated, sportsillustrated.com, SA.com, if you want to see the whole chat. But in it, Mark, Cena dropped a bombshell. I'm going to read you the quote. I can say with the utmost certainty that I believe Brock Lesnar is the best in-ring performer that I've seen, and I know it's an opinion, and if you want a cool quote, here it is. I think he's the best in-ring performer of all time. I thought his performance at the Rumble was a clinic on how to establish yourself, how to establish those around you, establish the championship, establish the importance of one event. I really do think so. I genuinely think he has a good understanding of who he is. That is John Cena on Brock Lesnar. All right, Mark Henry, you're in the Hall of Fame. You've been around this business for damn near 30 years. When you hear that, what first jumps out to you?
I think that the hair dye that they're using on John Cena is seeping through his skin into his brain.
Woo!
I love Brock Lesnar as a performer and as a talent and as a draw. But that's a bold, bold statement. Being that John Cena's been around and he started off with Kurt Angle. Pretty damn good in-ring performer.
Yeah.
Undertaker.
He's okay.
Shawn Michaels.
He's all right.
Triple H.
Decent.
Ric Flair.
Mm.
The Big Show.
Pretty good.
this guy named Mark Henry, he's pretty good too. But there are at least 24 guys, Hall of Fame caliber wrestlers. And I didn't mention The Rock. You're going to say that Brock Lesnar is better than The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and The Rock? Ric Flair? Now, Brock is young still. He's got another decade to wrestle. We could say, you know, in 10 years, possibly Brock Lesnar can supersede all of the names that I just mentioned. But as of right now, I want to inform the world that John Cena has bumped his head.
Breaking news.
We need to check him for CTE. Because that was really, really brash and a bold statement. No disrespect to Brock at all.
No.
Hell of a compliment. But like he said, it was his opinion. And he knew that he would have the world contradict him for that comment.
Well, what say you, Nation? You guys know the number, 877-FIGHT-93. It's 877-344-4893. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, at TheMarkHenry, at Ryan McKinnell, or at Busted Open Radio. Was John Cena stretching? Or listen, there are a lot of Brock Lesnar fans out there. Mark and I are definitely one of them. I very much like Brock Lesnar. And this run that he's had since he came back in whatever the hell it was, 2012, or my dates are terrible. It's been a really good run. I think back to some of those first matches with Cena and Orton. Remember when he let him bust him open and had those elbows and the blood and the energy at which he was working? I think the hiccup or the hole, the reason I would hold back on that comment calling Brock Lesnar the best in-ring performer ever is you don't see as much
ever?
Of him in well, right. You don't see of him. You don't see well in John's case. Yes, the greatest in-ring performer of all time. He said, "I thought the what did he say? I can say with the utmost certainty that I believe Brock Lesnar is the best in-ring performer that I've seen." And then he goes, "If you want a cool quote, here it is. I think he's the best in-ring performer of all time. Of all time, Mark." And listen, again,
and
love the word.
You know who else we didn't put on that list?
A lot of
John
people.
Cena.
John Cena, yes. Bret Hart. Ric Flair, you mentioned. I mean, there's so many that you can pull from. And if you want to go back, you know, even further, you got Lou Thesz. You know what I mean? You've got Bruno Sammartino.
San Martino.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I mean, it is a bold statement by John Cena.
That's a bold statement. It's a bold statement. I would love to hear what the Nation thinks about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also kind of bodes the question, Mark, what do you define as a successful run, and how do you define in-ring performances? Because if you talk about in-ring performances, Mark, I think you actually have to have a selection to pull from. And that's not to say Lesnar's last 10 years or whatever it's been haven't been exciting. They have been, and that's what's been so great
about
it.
They have.
He's been an attraction, but actual time in the ring, he doesn't have those match of the year candidates. He's got a couple. CM Punk at SummerSlam was definitely up there. They're there. I'm just saying
the
it's not.
He had with Kurt,
yes,
and John, and the list.
Yes.
He's had some good ones. But let's put it in perspective. Bruno Sammartino was champion for 4 years straight.
Yes.
4 years straight. Wrestling 45-minute to hour-long matches at least 3 times a week. Nope, man, it's going to be hard-pressed when you start talking about in-ring performance, work rate, and how many champions that you beat on a consistent basis. And let's go back to this guy that we didn't mention. Stone Cold Steve Austin?
He's pretty good.
A guy who pretty damn good.
He did some business, as you say, right?
Had about a decade of being champion. And who was he fighting in those championships? Triple H, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, The Rock, Hulk Hogan. The list goes on and on and on. And he whooped their ass every week all year long. John Cena. You have broke the internet with that comment. It's not even close. Now, I'm not saying Brock Lesnar has another decade to wrestle. And I think that in that decade, he could do that because now Brock Lesnar is not a 8-day-a-year wrestler. He's a plus 50 to 100-day-a-year wrestler, which is still about 100 days a year away from what the main, what the Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins of the world are doing. And if you know, I mean, call in, John. Somebody, if you know John and you think that you can get him to call in to SiriusXM and debate this with us, I would love to debate this with him tastefully. It won't be. It's no angst about it. It's just I would like to hear John's opinion of why he thinks that. Is that a comment that he makes because how good a decision it was and how great a rumble we just watched? We just watched the best rumble that I've seen in 20 years. Yep. Yes. I can see why John would make that statement, because he saw the match and was just blown away like we were. But I think he overstepped.
There you go.
I rest my case.
Words from the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. This is Busted Open Radio on a Saturday. Before we take a quick break, let's follow up with this conversation. John Cena coming out saying Brock Lesnar is the greatest in-ring performer that he has ever worked with, that he has ever seen, as Mark Henry just said. He's taking too many bumps on the head, John Cena. Let's see what Chris in Alabama has to think about that. Chris, what's up, man? Welcome in here on this Saturday.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm so excited to be able to talk to both of you this morning. But awesome. I agree with what Mr. Mark said, and that's this was one of my favorite Royal Rumbles of all time. I thought it was just great.
Yes. Yep.
But the GOAT conversation, to me, when you're talking about the greatest in-ring performer, you got to look at a couple things. You got to look at the gift of gab. You got to look at quality of matches. Mm-hmm. And the opponents that you're fighting. To me, when I think of the greatest of all times, I'm thinking of a Ric Flair,
Dusty Rhodes,
definitely a Dusty Rhodes. Those are two of my favorites of all time. And to put Brock Lesnar in that conversation just doesn't do justice to him.
Shawn Michaels. He was Mr. WrestleMania.
Mr. Shawn Michaels, he definitely up
Shawn
there.
Shawn had 15 WrestleManias, at least 15 WrestleManias, where he was top three in the company for 15
Absolutely.
Years. Come
Absolutely.
On, man!
You can't
working
put
every night
in that group. But that's my opinion, and I love you guys, and it's great listening to you.
Appreciate you calling in, Chris.
Definitely. Clearly, you know what, Mark? Clearly, John knew what he was doing. He said it. You want a juicy quote? Here's one. And he let it drop. And I think you do bring up a good point about recency bias, right? It was. And first of all, because we didn't really, we talked about the Rumble on Saturday, but I obviously haven't been able to get my thoughts on it. But yes, I absolutely agree. I think I said that. I actually wanted to see Brock go through the Rumble and win it, just because it would have created so many options going forward. Listen, I have no problem with Drew McIntyre winning. That was badass. But what I liked about Lesnar entering first, it opened up all the different possibilities and storylines that you could do. I knew he was going to go long, Mark. I thought he was going to go the whole time. But the way it played out was absolutely perfect. And it was perfect from the standpoint I knew people would be coming back on Monday talking about. And I said this, Brock Lesnar, that man can work. And we know this about Brock, right? We knew that Brock Lesnar could work. He's used sparingly. It's a very concerted effort on the behalf of the WWE's part to use Brock in spots. And that's what I love about him. He has been used to the point to where almost every time he steps on television, Mark, it's been 8 or 9 years, this still feels special. Like when we see Brock Lesnar, it still feels special. And that is something to be celebrated, because that is damn near impossible to do if you're in the position that the WWE's in.
Yeah, it is, man. It's impossible to pick one guy. I mean, we could talk about this till the day is done, and we still will have at least 50 different options of who it is that is the best in-ring performer of all time. I mean, you can't even hang it on titles. It's not about titles.
Yeah,
I mean, I look at guys that weren't the best champions, and you start talking about work rate. Look at how many people that Big Show worked with over the years, champions, building people, the Goldbergs of the world. You look at Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was one of those guys that if he didn't wrestle, he still showed up. And showing up is half of it. Being on the banner, on the ballot, being on the card, and walking to the ring and saying, I'm here defending the championship, or I got called out, I'm in the ring, where are you? A little bump around, bing, 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 He's in the car on the way to the next town before that show is even over and getting ready to do another show. So, I mean, man, you start talking about in-ring performance and work rate. There are guys that did between 200 and 275 shows a year.
Right.
Come on, man. I mean,
I don't think Brock's done that in
I don't know
the
if Brock did
years.
275. Yeah. Almost.
I mean, for real.
You beat me to it. You beat me to it. I was almost going to say, I don't know if Brock did 275 shows this year.
Not just this year, in 10 years.
This decade.
Yeah, this day, going back to the last decade, absolutely.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yes, 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 it is time. It is time. It's Vader. Okay. Got a little ahead of myself. It's not. Sorry.
Easy.
Inner pro wrestling fan in me came out. I can't help it. You start with the it's time stuff.
I get it.
Yeah. That's where my brain goes. Can't help it. I'm once a mark, always a mark. It's kind of where I stand. So, Mark.
I don't have a choice.
Different kind. Yeah, right. It's kind of your thing. It's like Alfredo. You know what I mean? You can't help that when Alfredo calls in, it evokes feelings of hunger. And when we talk about to Mark Henry about marks in pro wrestling, well, it can get a little confusing. All right, pal, what do you think? It was a busy week in pro wrestling. There was a couple really good shows, and then there was some good shows. But I'm not going to go first. I'm going to let you go first this week because I'm very interested what Mark Henry has to say in terms of his weekly winner. What do you say, pal? Who's taking it? Who's taking the number one slot?
Man, it was really, really hard for me this week. I enjoyed the competition between AEW and NXT this week.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to give the nod to NXT for the simple fact that we had a contract signing where it was documented in blood.
That's true.
So I had to give them the rise, but they fell short of the return of Edge on Raw. And what ensued at the end of the show, which it's been a long time since I saw so much heat that the crowd went completely quiet. Somebody really like somebody had an accident and the paramedics were there, and which really happened, like having Edge be pulled out on a stretcher with, you know, a guy that his neck has been an issue where he almost had to quit the business, and for 9 years he's been gone. I had to give my weekly winner to Raw. And we always say it, no matter how good you are, if you're not first, you're last. Raw.
Words to live by.
Is my weekly winner.
Well, man. He really kind of threw me through a curveball there because, well, first of all, let's be honest about what we've had with Weekly Winner. Outside of one Raw and then the SmackDown where Cole went over on Bryan, this has very much been an AEW versus NXT battle between you and I. That's the one we've been going back and forth on. Oftentimes we end up agreeing on the same show. This week we are going to differ because I find myself battling with kind of what you said, which is Edge coming back on Monday Night Raw, Orton with the turn in that moment, which was outstanding. Edge returning after 9 years, whatever it is, that is an all-time moment. You can't debate it. It is one of the best moments in Raw history, as far as I'm concerned, because the night he left Mark was one of the worst nights in Raw history. I mean, I think you would agree with that, right?
Yeah.
watching him have to walk away and giving that emotional goodbye. I mean, that was tough. So to have him return is unquestionably a special moment. But this is the whole show, right? This is the entire show, and Raw was a fine show. But Mark, NXT continues to put on the best pro wrestling product in the world as far as I'm concerned. Night in and night out, at week in and week out, I should say, they are the best in terms of in-ring storytelling, in terms of letting feuds and programs develop and simmer and not pulling things. There's legs to almost every single storyline and every single match that we get on NXT, and that continued over the weekend, or over the week, I should say, on Wednesday night. Shotzi Blackheart riding her tank down to the ring. I thought that was incredible. Finn Balor and Trent Seven, and whoever said that about Trent Seven's body type, you can go to hell. Because Trent Seven
Burn.
Has a much, much better Bastard. Body type than I do. Yes. Like, Trent Seven's skinny to me. You know how problematic that is, Mark?
I just think it's, man, I'm not going to get into it. Go ahead. Do your show, brother. Let them know.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, when you look at Trent Seven and people are calling him fat, you're like, I would love Trent Seven's body. You guys need to, I feel like I'm taking it personally. I can't help it. But no, you look at the rest of the show and mainly the final match. And I love the Tegan Knox back and forth as well as the way that played out. But the main event and the conclusion of the Dusty Cup, Mark, the Dusty Cup and the tag team division in NXT, the testament for their ability to take a DIY and make them DIY and have those back and forth with the Revival and have the moments. The tag team wrestling that we have gotten out of NXT is the best that it has been in three decades. I mean, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic there. It is jaw-dropping how good that the tag team wrestling in NXT is. And we got that highlighted on Wednesday night with the Broserweights and the Grizzled Young Veterans. I loved that match. I loved the entire card. As much as I enjoyed Edge's return to Raw, and as much as it was an all-time moment, I can't let that one moment override what was a spectacular entire card on NXT. NXT got my weekly winner, Mark.
Wow, that's awesome. I have to remind you that we had a return match on Raw between Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin that was really, really good. And
you mean on SmackDown? What are we talking about?
SmackDown. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm mixing the shows. The opening of having Drew McIntyre come to the ring and command the crowd the way that he commanded the crowd, and then to have Brock Lesnar come down and do what he did. It's apples and oranges. You can compare them, but we always talk about star power. And when Jericho's on, he dominates the screen because he's a bona fide star, and you can't wait to see what's going to happen next. I think that the segment with Cody was strong. I think that the segment with the tag at the end with Moxley coming out. But I wasn't overly enthralled with the way the show started with, you know, all of those guys. And then the strangers coming out, like people that you don't know.
Yeah.
There were elements to the show that didn't excite me. The crowd was still the winner. We started talking about weekly winners. The crowd for AEW was the weekly winner, if it comes down to who had the hottest crowd. But that too can be argued, because when Drew McIntyre came out, it was deafening.
It was.
And the same thing with Edge. When he came out, it was deafening. I would really like to see NXT start to venture out and find a bigger place and not just do it from Full Sail every show, but maybe like alternating shows. Or at least say 1 week out of the month, we're going to be at the Prudential Center in Providence, or, you know, like pick real hot arenas and only do the hot arenas once a month. How about that?
I'm with
that'll fix a lot.
Yeah, and I'd love to see a continuation of what we got earlier in the year, which was NXT appearing on SmackDown. The crowd was hot. The wrestling world was buzzing. I don't feel like we got a payoff on that. And we go back real quick to AEW. I also have to mention I love Britt Baker. I thought that promo was electrifying. I know it came at the cost of Jim Ross, and that sucks, but it created a controversy. It created dialogue in the pro wrestling world, and it showed a lot of confidence and a lot of villainy and a lot of evil for Britt Baker, which I really enjoyed. But yeah, as far as the overall show goes, I thought it was one of the weaker shows from AEW. But I got to address something, Mark. Through the course of this conversation, and you bring up McIntyre, which is fair. Then I thought about the fact that Rey Mysterio and MVP had that match, and MVP announced that this was probably his final match in the WWE. I believe I saw something along the lines of that. And then we got that great tag match. We got that spot with Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Star power. When I look back at this card and I look back at Edge finishing and after what you said, this might be the only time this happens. I'm actually switching my weekly winner. I can't believe I'm doing this. I felt pretty confident.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
Yeah. You did it. You did it, Mark Henry. I got to give it to Raw. I really do. I really do. When you look at the way that came together and when you really bring up, I really forgot. I got to be honest. I really forgot about how the show started and how strong McIntyre coming out to that reception was. Mark, that I think that's going to be one of those moments when we look back at Drew McIntyre's career and we look back at what is going to come from this, because I do think it's going to be special. He's clearly the man of the hour. This Monday Night Raw is going to be one of those moments that we point to, and it also has the Edge comeback and the turn from Orton. Yeah, man, that was so good. I think you're right. Objectively speaking, I think you're right. Raw was the best show this week, so I'm switching it. Mark Henry convinced me. Good job.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. I do my best. I was training, I was working out, I started to get that little euphoric feeling that you get after you train. Thank you.
That's no problem.
Our weekly winner.
Let's finish up with a couple callers, because you guys have been waiting patiently. It doesn't have to be necessarily weekly winner, but you can give your thoughts on the best show in wrestling this week, if you so choose. We'll start with one of my favorite cities in America, a city that I know very well, grew up around the city, South Bend, Indiana, okay, 80 miles east. It's the Windy City, one of the best pro wrestling cities in all of America. It is Chicago, and we got Joe residing in Chicago. What's up, Joe? Bear down. How you doing, pal?
I'm not so bad. How are you guys?
Doing well, buddy.
Doing
What's
good,
up?
Man.
Weekly winner, I got to give it to Raw.
Yeah.
Because, sure, not all the show is great, but when you have a moment that just really stands out and resonate with a fan, such as Edge's moment with Orton, that spoke volumes, and I have to give the winner to that. And then when I called, originally I want to talk about Braun Strowman, and I thought that for his IC title run, maybe you can implement the open challenge once again, because that really did wonders for Cena in the U.S. title. And I think with Braun Strowman as a monster among men, excuse me, being like, I'm the strongest here. I want to see who can actually really, really earn the right to take this title off of me. I think that would make for some good storytelling, especially for him. And since we're celebrating Otis and Mandy, I remember you guys were coming from break and you played Usher. Yeah. I just kept thinking about the movie Hitch, where Kevin James just dancing in the club with that blonde, that really, really cute blonde from the movie. And I'm just thinking about Otis dancing with Mandy in similar fashion, where she's all like very sexy, very cool, and he's all like, wow, that'd just be amazing. So thanks for taking my call. Hope to continue listening to your discussion.
All appreciate right, the call, appreciate man. It. You're awesome.
Now I'm thinking about it. Now I'm thinking about Otis doing the tummy rub next to Mandy, trying to like properly dance, and he's
the
just Q-tip. Destroying.
Turn the Q-tip. Yeah. Turn the Q-tip. Oh, my God.
Oh. And hopefully,
I can see him doing a sprinkler.
Yes, he's definitely a sprinkler guy. Hopefully, it all happens though. If we do get dancing, it all happens in Otis's mom's living room, or kitchen, or basement,
man.
Just somewhere around Otis's mom. We need Otis's mom. This needs to happen.
I don't know if Otis is a basement guy. You think Otis is a mom?
Are you kidding me? What do you? You don't think Otis is a basement guy? He looks like he was grown in a basement. He looks like what? Yes, I think he's a basement guy. Absolutely. Okay. Real recognize real, Mark Henry. Absolutely, Otis comes from a basement. I know my people. Come on. We got Bill in Texas coming up next. Bill, what's up, man? Happy Saturday.
Hello,
Bill. You're on. What's up, pal?
You all right?
Hey, yes.
You good?
I went ahead. I called yesterday, and I put this scenario out that about Charlotte not being able to choose who she wanted to challenge at WrestleMania for her title. And Mark, you said that if I went ahead and she chose all three champions to challenge at WrestleMania, that she would that it would, whoever won the match, it would be a complete blowout for the champion. What if they did a little old school, like in the NWA territory days, and the champion stay somewhere for a month, either the Raw, SmackDown, or NXT, and a challenge in each brand gets a challenge for that month, and then after that month, the champion goes to the next show, and the next, that way there the champion's not having to change around from show to show all week long.
Okay, let me break it down to everybody that didn't hear the show yesterday. My man called in and said, wouldn't it be cool to have all three brands have a triple threat with all the champions and the winner take all the titles? And I said that it would be very difficult to do that because that means you're going to work 6 days a week. And there's nobody that's going to be able to work 6 days a week. So now, after letting it marinate over a day, he calls again and says, okay, let's do 4 months at Raw, 4 months at NXT, 4 months at SmackDown. Okay. I'm scratching my beard, and I'm going to have to say no. That, I mean, it still wouldn't work because you would have two titles cool off. They would cool off. People wouldn't care anymore after 4 months. You catch me?
Yeah, but what if they were going to go ahead, if they were saying, okay, the winner take all, have, and you have one definitive champion, and you make, you go ahead and make a woman's undisputed champion, and that way there you don't have, you just have one champion. You know, that way there you don't have an NXT champion or a Raw champion or a SmackDown champion. You know, you have just that one undisputed champion. And it'd be like the old NWA days where the champion would get into that territory and say, okay, I'm going to wrestle your best guy. And then after a month, I'm going to go to Raw and I'm going to wrestle your best guy. And that way there, also on top of that, it would, every month it would be a fresh challenger for the champion every month. You'd see something new every month.
Well, what are the women going to do in the process of there being no champion on that brand? If you have a show like Raw, then everybody wants to be considered the flagship show. Then who's going to go first? Who's going to say, well, I'll just wait 8 months before we get ours? Nobody. It's an impossibility. As cool as it would be to have a triple threat to see who would get all the titles, awesome in fantasy booking, but in real life, it just couldn't happen.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.